So want to talk to you today about coming to Jesus. And the sweet spot is where you come to Jesus. Now, how many of you are born again? Raise your hand if you're born again. Okay. So I have a series of questions that I want to ask you today. But the first thing I want to ask you is this. How do we get free from sin when we're lost? How many remember when you were outside of the body of Christ? How many remember when you weren't a Christian? Raise your hand if you can remember that far back when you weren't a Christian. I told Isaac, actually he knows this song, maybe we'll sing it someday, but it's a fun song, and it was like, it goes through the days of the week. You know, on a Monday, I accepted Jesus. And if you accept Jesus on a Monday, you're supposed to stand up. And then they say, oh, maybe it was a Tuesday, accept Jesus. Maybe it is a Wednesday. And so, and pretty soon, you know, most everybody, I can't sing it because I don't even know it. I'm just being goofy. But here's my point. My point is, I didn't even know what day to stand up because I was raised in the church, and I didn't know what day I got saved. So I'd always stand up on a Sunday because I figured, well, I probably, you know what, probably was a Sunday. But I didn't know what day I was saved, but here's what I knew. I knew that I loved Jesus, and I knew that he was in my heart. And but what happens, you know, how do you get free from all that sin? You know, we were born... You know, how many of you sinned? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you sinned a lot? Raise your hand. Okay. All of us have sinned a lot. All of us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the reality is, whether you think, you know, it's funny because that passage where it has that woman that was, prostitute or delivered from prostitution, and then that self-righteous man. And Jesus says, to him who has been forgiven much, loves much. And we totally misunderstand that passage. Because we think that he's talking about that woman. But he's not. He's talking to both of them. How many know pride is one of the biggest sins you'll ever commit? What he's saying is, he's saying this. Here's what he's saying. We all ought to be crazy in love with God. Because... has he not forgiven? See, I baited you. You know what I mean? Those are, oh, you know, some of you, when I said, how many of us have been, you know, sinned a lot? You know, some of you raised your hand. Here, the truth is, if truth be told, we all ought to get both hands up. Is this not true? Come on, is somebody here today? Sometimes the 9 o'clock can be quiet because they just woke up. But 11 o'clock can't be quiet. Amen? Amen? How many know we've been saved from a lot? Amen? And so what happens when we ask Jesus to come in our heart? What happens? What's the reality? Well, we recognize that Jesus did for us on the cross. We recognize what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And we ask Jesus into our lives. He comes into our hearts, and we become as clean as he is. Oh, hallelujah. We become as clean as he is. Now, we think, how in the world? You know what I mean? How many know there's things in the Word of God that are almost too good to be true? This is one of them. But it is true. Look what the Bible says. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. For he made him who knew no sin, for he, that's God, made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, for he... made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow, that is a wow. It's like, oh my goodness, he knew no sin. Watch this. It's called the substitutory atonement. What it means is, Jesus had no sin, but he died for all our sin. He was our substitute. Aren't you glad for that? And that really happened. And so the best decision that I ever made, The second best decision I ever made, I've told you this already, is when I married Tamara. Amen? Amen. Tamara is Liz, true story. She's smarter than she is pretty. Yeah, that's impossible. No, I'm telling you. I remember sitting, standing over at Home Depot, and we were doing this electrical thing. And I was there with a pastor friend who knew electrical, and he was going to help us out on this project. And he said, okay, and he had a list. He said, okay, we need some 2x4 splitters. And Tamara said, oh, they're over here. And she got them. And then she said, okay, and then we need, a JY, 6 box. And she grabbed that, and she put it on. And about the third time that she grabbed something, this guy looked at me and said, unbelievable. I said, yeah, she's smart, isn't she? And he looked at me and said, you know what? Yeah, you're smart. Amen. How many know that was true? I mean, some of you will get that on the way home. But anyway. But the reality is, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Wow, what a great reality. So my first question is, what happened? Here's what happened. He became our substitute. Okay. My second question is this. Okay. But what happens when we ask Jesus in our hearts? What really happens when we ask Jesus in our hearts? Well, here's what happens. His Spirit comes into us, and we become born for a second time. Amen. We become born for a second time. Yeah, that's, watch this. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Notice this. You know what? God is the one who's asking. And we're the ones who either accept or reject. God doesn't force anyone to accept him. That's a choice that we make. But if, when he's knocking, if we will open the door, look what happens. I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I will come into him. What happens when we get born again? We get born for a second time. And his Spirit comes inside of us. I like saying it like this. God doesn't fix you, he changes you. God doesn't fix you, he changes you. You get born again. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall then I take, this is it. Let me go here. Well, let me start the whole thing. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Now listen, what is he saying? He's saying, hey, you need to be clean in your behavior. Amen? But let me keep on reading, because I'll show you something else that he says here that maybe some of you missed. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one. Wow. The two shall become one. Now, we understand what he's saying there. But watch this next verse. Watch this next word, verse. But he who is joined to the Lord. Are you Christian? That's what he's saying. He who is joined to the Lord, if you're saved, watch this, is one spirit with him. Wow. He comes into you, and you become born again. And now, if you're joined with the Lord, if you're a Christian, what happens when I get saved? The Holy Spirit comes inside you, takes residence inside you. Listen, I'm not here to belittle anybody. And I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what struggles you have. Here's what I know. That before we got saved, we were a mess. Yes. Amen? Can somebody say amen to this? We had all kinds of issues. And then we get born again, and God comes inside of us, and now we have his Spirit inside of us, and now He becomes one with us. Amen. And we become one with his Spirit. You say, Pastor, listen, I'm going over some theological concepts with you, but I'm doing it for a purpose, that you would understand what really happens. You say, Pastor, I don't understand that. I understand you don't understand it. Here, this is deep. Are you ready? Pastor, can you try to explain it to me? No. Well, why can't you explain it? Because I don't understand it either. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians. He says, it's a great mystery. How that happens, I can't explain it. Here's what I can tell you. The Bible says over and over in the New Testament, that's exactly what happens. How many know there's some things you have to accept by faith? This is one of them. And here's what I'm telling you. When you get born again, his Spirit moves inside of you. Now, when his Spirit moves inside of you, before... You know, you're smoking dope, you're sleeping around, you're gossiping, you're doing all this stuff, and you don't care, amen?
That's right, come on.
It's like, let it be, amen? Let it be, let it be, let it be. It's like, whatever, man. It's all good. But then you get born again, and the Spirit lives inside you, and now... it's not all good. Amen. Now you're doing stuff that you used to do and you didn't care about it. And now you're like, what's going on? Here's what's going on. His Spirit's living inside of you. And he's convicting you of stuff that you used to get away with. And you used to, nobody gets away with anything, but you used to do that stuff and you didn't care. But now you care. Now I'm going to say something harsh. Or you could interpret this as harsh, but listen, it's not harsh, it's loving. The Bible says that you need to test and see if you're really in the faith.
Oh, come on.
So let me give you a test. If sin doesn't bother you, maybe you're not really born again.
Oh,
wow. Ouch. Ouch. Pastor, you were looking right at me when you said that. I ain't looking at nobody, amen. Here, let me say it again. Let me say it, okay. If sin doesn't bother you, you might not be born again. Listen, and I'm not saying this to bust anybody's chops. I'm just saying this because, coming to church doesn't get us saved. And you need to have somebody loving enough to say, hey, could you check it out? You know what I mean? If you might be way too comfortable with something, and maybe today you need to, listen, maybe today you need to get born again. You need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Okay. I don't know if that's for anybody, but I don't want to not say that. So notice what's going on. He really comes inside you. That's what the Bible says. Okay. Let me ask you this question. Can we make bad choices? I'm talking about after we're born again. Okay. Hey, can we make bad choices? Come on, somebody help me out. Talk back to me. Can we make bad choices? How many made some bad choices? Not before you. How many made some bad choices after you were born again? Come on. We all made bad choices. Even after we were born again, we still can. What's the answer? Can we make bad choices? Well, here's the answer. This is deep, right? Yes, we can. We can. Look at what David, you know this verse. David says, for what I am doing, I don't understand. You know what I mean? You ever done something like, and watch this. You ever done something and you knew it even before you did it, you knew it was wrong. And you still did it. Come on, somebody raise their hand. You still did it. Okay? And then, watch this. And then after you did it, how many know the wages of sin is death? And then you're like, and then you said this. You're just like, you might even say this. I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? Am I the only one? That's what he's saying. Paul, watch, I'll help you out. Paul's saying, I don't understand why I did that. Okay. Can we make bad choices after we got born again? We absolutely can. We absolutely can. But I'm gonna show you today. You say, Pastor, that's not very good news. Oh, I'm going to show you some great news. Because I'm here to tell you, you don't have to make those bad choices anymore. You don't have to make those bad choices anymore. And how many know those bad choices, how many know choices that you make have consequences in your life, negative or positive? Paul said this. He said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. How many know God wants to rescue us from, listen to me, not only the consequences of sin, but he wants to rescue us from the power of sin. And we haven't been told. There's not been enough pastors who have the integrity to stand up and say, hey guys, you don't have to make those bad choices anymore. Now, there's a lot of pastors who stand up and say, oh, you know what? Everybody sins. Everybody sins. We sin. And I've even heard this. You know what? We sin. You know, we sin every day, every day, every day. It's like, hey, is that what you want to be encouraging the people about? You know what I mean? They're like, oh, I'm just like Pastor. He said he sins every day. I sin every day. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, wait a minute. And am I saying that we can't? No, we can sin. But what I'm going to do is show you today is some passages that are going to confront that kind of attitude. It's like, oh, well, you know what I mean? Oh, well, no, no, no. I'm going to share with you. There's a freedom. There's hey guys in the back, you guys got your eyes on me? Okay, awesome. Go to that that first song that we sang, and let's go over some of these words real quickly. Real quickly. Can you do that, or am I in? Can you? Okay. I close my eyes. No, not that one. The Oasis. So, no, here's good. So I let go and I let God. We're going to be talking about that's what you do. You stop, listen, you stop controlling your life and you start let the Spirit of God inside you control your life. So I let go and I let God show me how life is supposed to be. Watch this. An oasis here awaits us, all the freedom I ever need. I'm here to tell you. And you might not, you might never, on all the Christian radio, you might never heard any pastor tell you this. But I'm going to not only tell it to you, I'm going to show you in the Word of God that you are free. And he who is free, the Bible says, is free indeed. And that sin that has so easily beset you, that's why the Bible says, you know what? Cast that weight away. Why? Because you can. Somebody say, I can. But you've been told, no, you can't, no, you can't, no, you can't. Your aunt was angry. Your grandma was angry. Your great-grandma was crazy angry. And you're just wacko, too. Amen? Anybody that has some crazy grandmas? And you use that as an excuse. You know, that's in my heritage. That's in my DNA. That's who I am. Wow. That's not who God says you are. Amen? My fourth question is this. But when I choose bad choices, what is really going on? What's really going on when I make those bad choices? Well, thanks for asking. Let me tell you what. The Spirit is not choosing that. Your flesh is choosing that. I'm not saying that you're not making the choice. What I'm saying is, it's not your spirit that's telling you that. Remember, I just got done. When you get born again, his spirit becomes your spirit. They become one, and they're inside of you. When you make bad choices, it's not your spirit man that's making that choice. It's your flesh man. Let me show you some passages that will help you go over this. But now it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin who dwells inside me. This is Paul. This is very... very familiar passage. It's a passage where he's saying, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I don't want to do, that's I do. Ah, I'm so messed up. And Paul says this, but let me tell you what's going on. But now it's no longer, what's now? Now that I'm born again.
Yeah, there it is.
Now that I'm born again. Before it was me. That's who I was. Right. But now that I got born again, when I sin, it's not me. Watch this. But now it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin that dwells in me.
Wow.
Watch this. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Say, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. I want to do this, but how to perform it, what is good, I cannot find. And he just kept on blowing it. Watch this. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I do not, I will not to do, that I practice. Now listen, he's going to say it again. Now. Do you notice he says that now again? Somebody say now.
Now.
What's he talking about? He's saying, I'm born again now. Now it's different. Yeah. Now, if I do what I will not to do, listen to this, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me.
Wow.
Now, that for many of you is a hard thing for you to understand. But here's what I'm telling you. Inside you, you got two things going on. You got the crazy you, and you got Jesus in you. And Paul says, when I do those bonehead things, it ain't me. I don't even know who that was. That was sin that dwells in me. Now, listen, you can't use this for an excuse. So if you're backing up in that parking lot and you hit the church van, and I go out there and I go, what's going on, Jackson? And you're like, I don't know, man. I don't know who did that. Well, you were driving that. Is that your car? Yeah, that's my car. Is that your bumper? Yeah, that's your bumper. Yeah. Were you driving your car like 1 second ago? Yeah. Well, what happened? I don't know, man. Somebody hit your car, but it wasn't me. Well, who was it? It was sin that dwells inside of me. But I'm just like Paul. That wasn't me who did it. No. This isn't a scripture that we can use to excuse our sin. But this is a scripture that indicates to you theologically what's really going on. And this is so important that you understand that in us is you see those cartoons, and it's you know what, the cat is about to get the mouse, and it's right ready to get it, and they kind of freeze him, you know what I mean? And then there's this angel pops up and goes, don't hit that mouse. And then like a devil character comes up and says, oh, pound on that mouse. And we laugh, but can I tell you what? That is way more theologically true than you recognize. Inside you still remains this old nature. But watch this. The Bible says, behold, all things have become new. And Paul's identifying who he really is. He's saying, let me tell you what, when I do those things, I that's not me. I'm not saying I didn't do it, but what I'm saying is that's not who I want to identify with. So what happens when you're sinning? That's what's going on. You are allowing your old nature to be in control. You are not submitting to the Spirit of God. That's what I want to talk to you today. What's the sweet spot? The sweet spot is when you start choosing God over your flesh. And we make it all complicated, but can I simplify it? Can I say it's just a matter of choosing? It's just a matter of choices that we make. Choices are so clear, and they're even clear in the Word of God. And we want to fuzzy it all up. You know, well, I don't, you know, oh, huh. Paul, Pastor Paul, you like these? Do you like these?
Yeah,
I like the red one. See, did you see how quickly he did? I didn't even get to ask him yet. He always was, well, I don't like the red one. You know what I mean? Well, here, you get the red one. You know what? And Peter gets the brown one. Okay, that's how it is. But what I'm saying is, see, we want to get all ambiguous. Well, you know, it's calculations. It was too sunny and the rain and blah, 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 blah. No. You were just speeding. Amen?
Yeah.
Is that not right? No, officer. It wasn't me. It was sin that dwells inside me. That's why I was going. How many know that ain't going to work? Amen? But it's important for us to understand theologically what's going on. So can I ask you another question? Watch this. The big question for us today. What's the big question for us today? Well, here it is. Are you ready? Here's the big question. How do I get free from sin now that I'm a Christian? See, how many of you sinned after you're a Christian? Raise your hand if you sinned after you got born again. See, every single one of us. That's the question for today. How do I do this? Well, look at what Galatians says. I love this. He says this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What's the bottom line? Here's the bottom line. Here's what God's saying the bottom line is. Listen, I can teach you how to live a victorious life. Yeah. Here's how. Walk in the Spirit. Yeah. See, the Bible says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah. Pastor, it's that simple? Well, I'm going to go into it a little bit more and I'm going to teach you how to walk in the Spirit. But here's what I'm saying. You think Paul's just like a little trickster? You think he tells you something that you can do and then you really can't do that? Absolutely not. See, if you will walk in the Spirit, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. If you look in context, he just gets done with this strife going on, this junk going on. And then he says, I say then, what's the solution? Here's what he says. All this strife going on. He says, here, stop it. Here's what I say. So here's the solution. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, you got strife in your marriage? Here's what I say to you. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, you think? Listen, here's what the Bible says. What's walking in the Spirit? See, listen, if you meditate on the Word day and night, here's what I want you to do. Meditate on the Word day and night to observe to do all that's written in it. Why? For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Pastor, where do you ever get that? That's Joshua. First chapter. It says, listen, if you will meditate on the Word day and night, the Word, Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. See, here's what we have to do. Here's the issue. The issue is we are so caught up with the ways of the world. See, we know all kinds of stuff. We know, you know what? Pete Rose's, batting average. And we know, we know 16 lashes go like this, and we know the color, 804-20X, B2, this true story, my girls, my wife and my two girls talk about hair. Sometimes I just kick them out of my room. I'm like, out. You are a blessed man, my brother. Pastor George raised two boys, amen? Although I'm sure boys have their issues, amen? But they don't spend hours talking about hair stuff. Okay.
Come on, Pastor, you gonna sing a song?
Here's what I'm saying. Listen. There's issues that are going on in your life, and you are so unable to be led by the Spirit because you're so out of tune with the Spirit. So you're not able to be led by the Spirit because you don't know what the Spirit is saying. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be real with somebody. And because two of the ways that you will be led by the Spirit and be in tune with the Spirit. See, how in the world, you've heard Armstrong come and teach. And for many of you, first 15 minutes, you have no idea what he said. Because he has such a strong accent. I'm blessed because he comes over to my house on Friday and Saturday. So I have acclimated my ear completely. By Sunday, I know what he's saying. Amen.
Yeah,
You know, you get, you're like, oh, that, you know, you go up to him, oh, that third point was awesome. That third point was awesome. He says, oh, yeah, well, what about my first and second point? You're like, oh, I don't know what you're saying, the first and second point.
What are you saying?
How many know what I'm talking about? And we do the same thing in the Spirit. We don't know what the Spirit is saying because we haven't acclimated what the Spirit is saying. So we're stuck. We can't be led by the Spirit because we don't know what the Spirit is saying. See, here's what I'm telling you. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to be free. There's this oasis that awaits you. But in order to walk in that freedom, see, listen, you've been lied to. You've been told that you have been free from the consequences of sin, but not the power of sin. That is not true. You and I have been set free from it all, amen, including the power of sin. We've been set free. But we can't walk in that freedom if we don't walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen. Thank you,
man. Is this making sense to somebody? Watch this. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's this war going on. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The reason you don't do the things that you wish is ultimately because you are submitting to your old nature. That's what's happening. They're warring against each other. But here's what I'm telling you. You have a choice every single... you know what? How many are reading... How many are reading Robert Morris's book? How many are reading? I gave it to you for free. How many are reading? Raise your hand if you're reading it. Okay. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. All y'all go read it. It is an awesome book. And Robert Morris says, every week when you get paid, you have a test. You have a test. You have a test whether you're going to bring the tithe into the storehouse or whether you're not going to. You know what? Even in saying that, I know I can cause people to get upset because, Pastor, you ain't supposed to talk about that stuff. Dude, where's that coming from? No, can we analyze it? Where's that coming from? Is it coming from your... Because let me tell you what, your spirit is saying every single week, your spirit is saying... Come on, we're going to fund the kingdom of God. We're going to bring the tithe into the storehouse, that the storehouse would have meat, and all these people are going to be able to eat meat. We're going to be able to do all kinds of things. We're going to be able to go into the schools. We're going to do all this stuff. That's what your spirit is saying. But I know it's not just your spirit that's talking to you. I know that there's this war going on. You know what? Your unwillingness to let things go, sometimes with exes. What's going on there? There's this warring going on. But I know what the Spirit says. The Spirit says what the Word says. Because these words are spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And they're spiritual, but what they're going to do, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's this freedom that's going to happen. There's this abundance. There's an oasis that awaits you. I'm telling you, there is. But we've been told for too long, well, you're just, you know what? You're just a wretched sinner. Paul says, you know what Paul says?
Yeah, yeah.
Paul recognizes the wretchedness. Yeah. And he cries out and he says, actually, guys, can I show it to you?
Yeah.
Look what he says in Romans chapter 7. We'll go there. Guys, you got to help me out in the back. You got to take over for a minute. Romans chapter 7. Look at the end of verse 7. Look at verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul's like, I hate when I make bad choices. He's not saying he doesn't make those choices. He's saying, man, I make way more bad choices than I want to. Oh, wretched man, who will deliver me from this body of death?
Come on.
How many ever made some choices and you regret choices that you made? Who's going to deliver you? Well, let's see who's going to deliver us. He doesn't say, oh, you just got to suck it up. You just got to, you know, that's life. You know, just, well, once you get to heaven, you'll be delivered. See, that doesn't say that. Look at this next verse. I thank God through Jesus our Lord. Who's going to deliver you? Jesus is going to deliver you. But watch how he's going to deliver you. Watch this. So then, with my, come on, somebody help me out. You got it right up here. I'm giving you the answer. So with my what?
Mind.
So with my what?
Mind.
So with my mind, I, oh man. Pastor George, I love the word of God that is so clear, makes things so obvious. Man, it's so easy to teach. Don't you love this stuff? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God.
Amen.
What's he saying? He's saying, let me tell you what. Here's how I'm going to deliver. First of all, it's through Jesus Christ. But here's what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to, his spirit lives inside me, is going to encourage me to choose the right choice.
That's right.
And what I'm going to start doing myself is I'm going to start choosing the right things.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yes.
With your what?
Mind.
With your what?
Mind.
With your what?
Mind.
With your mind. I came over here, Paul, and I said, hey, which, you know, I didn't even get it out of my mouth, which one? He already knew which one. With his mind. He said, his mind said, I want the red one.
Oh, dude, come on. Why not the brown one?
See, well, you can do the same thing with your mind. You don't have to choose to go to the mall and just look at short dress after short dress after short dress. And for some of you, you've been, you know what? For some of you, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't even go to the mall. Oh, well, hallelujah. That pastor, you don't understand how strong I am in the Lord. Well, if you're so strong in the Lord, then why do you keep on acting like you're in a ping pong match? Amen. I don't know. That's free. That's just free. You know, I'm just saying, maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you, before you ever go to the mall, why don't you send your wife to the mall and you stay at home? I'm just saying. Watch this. I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, he's not saying that you can't make that bad choice. He's just saying you're not going to do it listening. Listen, how many would raise your hand and recognize your flesh never makes good choices for you? That's what I thought. Watch, look at verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Yeah, awesome.
Guys, you can make the right choices. Look at the next verse. For the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Don't tell me you can't make good choices. Don't tell me, no, that's how you've always been. No. We make choices in our life. And the Bible says you can be free from that junk.
Amen.
But you have to recognize that when you make those bad choices, your flesh is choosing the wrong thing.
That's right.
And you have to just recognize that. Just own up. Just go, here. Just go, man, I suck.
Oh, there it is. Come on.
Hello, somebody.
Hello.
I'm smiling, all right? I'm smiling. Right? I'm smiling, right?
Yeah.
Right? I'm smiling, right?
Yeah.
We do suck.
We suck.
Wow, what'd you learn today? Pastor said we suck. It was an awesome service. yeah. But you know, but God lives inside you. He doesn't.
That's right. Yeah.
There it is.
And what I'm telling you is you can choose that every time. Amen. But there's something to freeing in knowing, oh my goodness, in my flesh, there dwells nothing good. And that's taught in pulpits. What isn't taught is that we don't have to submit to that. Here, Galatians chapter 20. Galatians chapter 20, verse 20. Look what it says. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I had a friend, and they knew kind of some things that I used to do in the past, and they would kid with me every once in a while of these things that I used to do. And one time I said, hey, could you do me a favor? Don't talk about that no more. And don't talk about that no more, because that's not who I am anymore. And they were a very close friend, and they were cool, and they understood spiritual things and never brought it up again. See, all we have to do is recognize that, you can't tempt me with stuff if I will recognize that guy died, amen? Oh, yeah, that guy was a goofball, and he died, amen? Oh, yes, he was a goofball, but he's not with us anymore, amen? How many know you can't tempt a dead person, amen? You know, somebody, you ever have these funerals, and they're, you know what I mean, the guy's dead in the casket, you know what I mean? Hello? Come on, are y'all here? You know, you ever see somebody come up, you know what, and they're smoking a joint, and they're like, hey, here, want a hit? They ever do that? Have you ever seen that? If they did that, you'd go, he's dead, man. You can't tempt him. You can't tempt him with anything. See, this was my dad's life verse. And it's a great verse. And he exercised this verse. He recognized, I died. I died with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who lived in me and gave himself for me.
Oh, amen. Amen.
I don't live anymore. That guy died. Now, think about this as far as choices you make. My wife gave me this wonderful gift. Was that for Christmas? I think you gave it to me. I don't know.
I think it was,
and it's a wonderful gift. And it's got she wrote me a real nice, what do they call these things on the inside? Prescription? What is it? Inscription? An inscription? Oh, yeah, prescription. That's what you get at the doctor. Okay, anyway, moving right along. If you think you came to the perfect church, obviously you didn't. But here's what I'm saying. That on this side, it says WWJD. And, you know, this was popular way back in the day, but what did it stand for? What would Jesus do? See, the truth is if you would just ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? The Holy Spirit will tell you what he'd do. And if you would do what Jesus would do, your life would change. See? I love... I love this verse. You know what Paul says? Watch this. What does Paul say? Paul says this. To live, how many can help me finish this? He says, to live is Christ. And then what did he say? To die is what? To die is gain. But let's just take the poorest part. He says, to live, I'm living, and let me tell you why I'm living. I don't make choices anymore. God makes choices. I don't have a decision in this. I just defer to Jesus. That's all I do. I just defer to Jesus. Watch this. Colossians. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand. Seek the things that are above. Can I tell you what? We get so enamored in the world. God says, that's why you're making bad choices. Put your head up here where Christ is. Think how he thinks. Watch this. Set your minds on the things above, not the things on this earth. It's not your choice. That guy died. You're tempted, and then my choice. That guy died. You can't, Satan, you can't talk to me. Because I died. I'm crucified with Christ. The life that I live now, listen, you're going to have to talk to Jesus. He lives inside of me. And he's going to make, you want to talk to me? Talk to Jesus. Because I died. How many know Jesus has no problem coming up with the right answer? Watch this. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father," who's talking?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Your will. I don't care what I want. See, Jesus is our example. You know why his name is above every other name? Because he submitted himself to death, even death on the cross. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, God says, let me tell you what, you will reap what you sow. If you start to die to yourself and start to live in Jesus Christ, you start to make good decision after good decision after good decision after good decision after good decision. And let me tell you what, some of you are dealing with struggles in your family, and you know what? It won't make any difference. They can make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, but it will not override your good choices.
Amen.
And it might influence them to start getting on the plumb line themselves. How many know, sometimes you're the biggest part of the problem. Listen, don't fight fire with fire. Fight fire with the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, let them argue with themselves. Amen? Let them be mad at themselves. Amen? You come into Christmas. You come into Thanksgiving. And you be the light of the world. Amen? Well, the Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. Well, Jesus said you're the light of the world. Here, put that in your purse and swing it. Amen? And before you write me any letters, let me just tell you, look it up before you write it. Because Jesus Christ was the one who said that we are the light of the world. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus also said, you know what? Jesus said that we can do nothing without the Father. That's what I'm teaching you. Come to the realization that in your flesh, there's nothing that good exists. So stop trying to fix your flesh and crucify your flesh. Does that make sense? Listen, it's much easier just to say, I give up. You cannot tempt me because I am dead. Are you learning something?
Oh, yeah.
And Christ is your example. He says, even to the point of death, death on the cross, he says to God the Father, I tell you what I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose what your spirit wants.
Amen.
Nevertheless, not my will. Look at this. How should we pray? Here, pray like this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many know? How many there's no strife in heaven? How many know there's nobody freaked out in heaven? How many know there's nobody saying, what are we gonna do? There's nobody worried in heaven. You know, it's like interesting because we pray that prayer and we understand that prayer, and it's true. We need to pray that like in a proclamation. Let God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how many know that prayer needs to be not only a proclamation? Watch, all eyes up here, you gotta see this. It not only needs to be a proclamation, but it needs to be a proclamation. In other words, let God, here's what Jesus is saying. Guys, pray that God's will would be going on in your life like it's going on in heaven. What's that? Takes a submission to the Spirit. But the Bible, let me remind you, the Bible says, if you're led by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, there is an oasis that awaits you. There's this freedom that you can walk in. But you can't walk in it if you keep on allowing your flesh to control you. You have to give up. You have to say, enough. You know what? Drew died. Drew's dead. Satan. Want to talk to somebody? Talk to Jesus. Because that's who lives inside me now. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Start to pray. Start to incline your... The Bible says, incline your ear. The Bible says, meditate on the word day and night that you might observe to do all that is written. For then, watch this. This is Joshua. For then you will make your way prosperous. What about God? No. That's how you're going to make your way prosperous. By starting to incline your ear to what God is saying. Get all the junk out and start listening to what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. And then you're going to turn back and you're going to go, wow. Did I say this in the first service? No, Tamara had a friend, Lori. I used to call her Lori Bori. You know what? And Lori Bori said this. She said, you know what? Drew is the luckiest person I know. No, I wasn't the luckiest person that she knew. But I was the most godly person she knew. And I'm not saying in 30 seconds. But you start making godly choices, you'll be amazed how fast your life will turn around. You'll be amazed how, in all aspects of your life. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have struggles, because the Bible says, you know what, in this world there's going to be tribulation. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you're going to start to make good choices, and those good choices will start to have ramifications that will affect you in a positive way. But you're not going to make those choices if you keep on listening to that same boneheaded person. Because let me tell you, the same boneheaded person that made those boneheaded choices in junior high, that same boneheaded guy or boneheaded girl that made that stupid choice in high school, that same bonehead still is with you. So I'll use Brian as my example, and I'll close with this. Tamara, get ready. So Brian, can you come on up here? I want to share. So let me just tell you what's going on. Every single time, you know what, you have a choice. And I'm going to use Brian as an example, but this is true in my life, and it's true in your life. Every time. Somebody say every time. And you might have many choices today to do the right thing. Let's be honest. How many know just today we're going to have many choices to do the right thing or do the wrong thing? How many would shake their head and say? How many are sleeping still? Okay. How many recognize we are going to have several choices today, good or bad? How many would say, that's true, Pastor? Okay, your word together. Good, got it. So Ryan's going to have the same choice. Here's what I want to let you know and let Brian know and remind me of this, that every choice that Brian has made, and we're just talking about after he got born again, but every time that Brian made a bad choice, and we'll say this side is bad, every time he made this bad choice, the Spirit of God was here begging him and would you know what, saying, Brian, no, let me tell you who I am. I'm the God who loves you. I've gone before you. I've made the crooked path straight. There's a whole path. You know what? My plan for you is good. It's for a hope and a future. Let me tell you what, Brian, who I am. I am the good shepherd. Amen. And what I will do is I will lead you to still waters. right? To green pastures. Is that not right? That's who I am. But notice what this the shepherd says. I am the good shepherd. I will. What's the next word? Lead. Everybody say lead. Now, here's what we want God to do to us. We want God to grab us. I'm gonna wrinkle your shirt a little bit, but I want God to grab us and to force us not to go the wrong way. Can I tell you what? He won't do it, because that's not who he is.
Right.
He will sit here, and he will beg you to say, Brian, let me tell you who I am. I'm a good shepherd. Yeah, you remember Eve was deceived. Eve was the one who thought that, you know what, I was keeping something from her. I wasn't keeping anything from her. That was Satan lying to her. That scripture that you read today, Romans 8, says God will withhold no good thing from us. He proves it by saying, I've even given you Jesus Christ. Even my own son I didn't withhold from you. So he tells Brian, listen to me. Over there, here, Brian, did I not tell you this in John 10:10? Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Brian, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. One version said, Brian, I came in to give life, this fullness of life. So every day, you have a choice. You have a choice to love your wife. You have a choice to honor me. You have a choice to make, you know what, and you can't control your kids, but you can be a good example to your kids. You can make those choices. You can make a choice, Brian, to be generous, or you can make a choice to be selfish. I don't control you, but I'm telling you those choices that I'm asking you to make. Here's what I want to tell you, Brian. If you're led by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And let me tell you about the flesh, Brian. In the flesh, there's nothing that's good there. Nothing. And let me tell you something else about the flesh. If you go that way, that's a road that leads to destruction. Oh, a couple more things, Brian. There's all kinds of people that are going that way. And in your mind, you're going to think that's a good way to go because look at all the people are going. But let me remind you what I've told you in my word, that the road to destruction is wide, and there's many that go by it. But the road to everlasting life is narrow. But I'm telling you, Brian, a couple more things. I promise never to leave you or forsake you. I promise that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. So, Brian, I can't choose for you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But choose life that you, and not only you, but your descendants will live. That's what God says to Brian every single opportunity he has to make that choice. And that's the same thing that he says to us. So enough of the, you know what, that's what I've chose because that's how I choose and I just can't get over it and I just always make dumb choices and if I eat one potato, it goes straight to my thighs. Enough. Enough of that garbage. Enough of that foolishness. No. There's an oasis that awaits us.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what that oasis is. That oasis is in being obedient to the Spirit of God. That oasis is just following the Spirit of God. Because let me tell you what, God loves you.
Thank you.
But he won't force you. He can only lead you.
Amen. And Brian, wait. Will you stay there? This is such a good illustration because in the beginning when Pastor began, he said that this man is dead. We become alive in Christ. We become alive in Christ. And the old man passes away. That's what the Bible says. So who Brian used to be has passed away. And behold, Brian is brand new in him. This is God. Brand new in him. But here's and you know how that happened? Because Brian asked Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, one of the things that Lord means is the decision maker. So a big part of how we get caught in struggling with sin, a big part of the way that we get caught in continuing in sin is because Brian's trying to decide what to do. Should I? Shouldn't I? I want to. I'm not supposed to. And he's trying to decide. But if he would get his mindset right, that he no longer has decision-making power. Why doesn't he? Well, because there's only one decision he can make right now and be biblical. Am I going to let Jesus be my decision maker? Am I going to let Jesus be my Lord? Or am I going to become my Lord and I'm going to make this decision? Does that make sense? But the decision maker, when we said be my Lord, means that you're the decision maker, which means, you know what, that and Jesus will choose right every time. Every time, didn't he? He did it for him and he'll do it for you. But your will has to be, this, Jesus is in the same boat. We're just like Jesus. Don't freak out on that. Same system. Jesus had to say, nonetheless, not my will, but your will. And you know what Brian has to say? Nonetheless, not my will, but your will. In other words, you decide, you say I don't do this, so guess what? I don't do this. And that is the mindset that we need to get so that we can get over whatever it is that we're trying to push to the curb. Thank you, Brian. If we won't, it's so good. I hope that's a real good picture illustration, you know what, for us to kind of get so that we don't allow struggles to beat us up. That we are not in Christ, because we are. That we don't allow struggles to rob us from who we are. They have these, if we won't confront something, then we can never correct it. So today we're confronting the reality that we all have issues in our life. That we're trying to become more like Christ and go this way, right? We all are on this path, and we're talking about how do we get there successfully? How do we do that? They have, and this sometimes makes the church real uncomfortable. Like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Quit saying sin. You know what I mean? They have these classes where they're teaching, you know what, how to grow a church and what you should do. And one of the things is that don't say the word sin. Don't say that word because people don't like that word. So don't say it. But if we won't talk about it, then we're not confronting it. And if we're not confronting it, then we're not going to overcome it. We have to first recognize that it's there, call it sin, and then we can begin to submit, change our mind about it, submit our will, and let the Lord be the one who's directing us and go to that green place. Yeah, that's what I want to say. That's what I want to say. You know what? That we would just let Jesus be Lord. That we would begin to struggle that struggle. That is the struggle. Either I'm going to be in control or he's going to be in control. And if he's in control, then we're walk. I mean, if he's not in control, then we're walking in what the Bible calls idolatry. We're God. We're going to decide. We're altering what the Word of God says, and we're kind of figuring out our own kind of Christianity. And we don't want to do that. We want to stay. The Word of God is our final authority, that God would be God.